You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmitz.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Good-looking morning right now in Green Bay, Appleton, and Oshkosh. We had Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist, on earlier talking about the potential. It's very tornadic-looking throughout much... Thank you.
The password is...
Tormatic.
Tornadic.
Something. Yeah, it's tornado-y. But Brittany, we're looking at the weather thing you put up there, Todd. It's definitely moving northeast. There's no question about that. And there are some big, big red patches heading that way, northeast Wisconsin, like far northeast Wisconsin. But you and that looks kind of ugly with all the red. But you said there's another line coming from that La Crosse area right behind it, huh?
Absolutely. And that's going to die out a little bit. But then as we get into the remainder of the afternoon, that will start as the heat.
Right.
You know, that heat is one of the issues. So we'll see some more storms rolling in through like, later on this afternoon
like
into tonight.
6 o'clock
yeah.
even
yep.
tonight. Okay.
Yep.
Well, you know what? If you're a lacrosse player, you'll still be out there because Rich Thompson grows them tough. Rich Thompson is here from Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference, also the head coach at Pulaski, longtime coach and player. And Rich, we were just talking about, you know, 20 years ago or something, there basically was no lacrosse in northeast Wisconsin. And you guys... I'll tell you the very first thing I remember doing a story, and they brought it in out at, I think it was Menominee, out on the reservation, and they brought in a group from, I want to say North Dakota or someplace like that, to start, they're like, hey, this is our sport. This is, you want to talk about the true, what's the American pastime? It's lacrosse, because this was the first sport in what became America, and they were trying to get the heritage for the
right.
for the young.
Sure.
And it not only took hold there, all these other schools jumped in. It's like, this is cool. Let's do it.
Exactly.
Rich Thompson, congratulations. What you helped create.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having us.
You know, tell us about, I mean, starting sports, we're so ingrained in baseball, basketball, football, right. I mean, swimming, just to get something going. And, you know, I don't know how many, I know there's 10 people on a team, but like how'd you get the thing off the ground?
Absolutely. So I was, I helped found the Kimberly program, and then I also founded the Pulaski program. It takes a lot to get that started. Like for Pulaski, we did learn to play clinics for 2 years. So we would sit up, we'd bring goals to one of the local elementary schools.
Okay, and just to back up, okay, you could be a basketball coach at one of these schools, and every one of these kids has played basketball in their driveways or whatever for, you know, 10 years.
Right.
With your sport, it was from ground zero, right?
It was. Yep. Yeah. You were explaining just the basics to them. And actually, I find that basketball is the easiest sport to compare it to. I know a lot of people will talk about hockey or football and stuff because people are wearing pads. But if you think about it, basketball, you have a backboard in your back. Same thing in lacrosse. We have a goal in the back, right? So a lot of the offensive concepts, pick and roll, screens, things like that, come right out of basketball. I use as a coach, a lot of my terminology and stuff is very similar to what you'd find in basketball.
What I think is cool about the two markets you picked, Kimberly and Pulaski, they like their sports too.
They do. They do. They're very passionate about their sports.
Parental support to try that. But I want to go back to the challenge of getting that started because it wasn't like they saw it a lot on TV and like, oh man,
no,
I'd like to play that. So it's like,
right. Yeah.
So you went to the grade schools, what, fifth, sixth grade? Or where
yeah,
did you,
yeah, yeah. So the concept was is to get it started at the U10, 12, U14 level. Mm-hmm. Right. And then those kids will build right. and that stuff. And then they'll matriculate up to high school. And that's literally what we did. We started it at the youth level and then build it. Then we got a high school program at Kimberly. And then when I moved up to Pulaski, then we started building it at the Pulaski level. Now we have a high school team. We're in the second year of our varsity program.
You know what I like, though, as far as what you did? Everybody started out exactly even.
Right.
It's
yeah,
not like some
cool.
kid grew up with that hoop in his on his driveway and somebody yep. else didn't. It's like you're all ground zero. I think that's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. That first class too, there's a lot like our first class here now is going to be graduating this year. And they really have a lot of, you know, cohesion. They're really a strong group together because they all went through this together. They all learned the sport together. They really became passionate about the sport together. And it's something that really, you know, gets them going and stuff. So it's really kind of a cool thing to see.
What would that overlap? I mean, we always worry about kids, you know, there's so many options right now.
Right.
I mean, back when we were kids, of course, we're a lot older than you, but
We had Little League. We had nothing else.
Yeah. So what we do is a lot of times we'll have practices on different days than baseball to give kids the opportunity to try both sports. Okay. And I'll be honest, my son played baseball for a couple of years while he also did lacrosse. And it's, no offense, baseball, but it can be a little boring sometimes. It's swing and a miss, bunt, ball and, foul ball and this kind of stuff. With lacrosse, you are constantly up and down the field. It's just like hockey where the ball is either going towards one goal or to the other goal. You have body checking. You have, scoring goals. Everybody likes to score the goal. I reffed a game yesterday, and we had a brand new player. He scored a last-second goal. His team mobbed him after the game. Right. I thought, how great is that? This is his first season, and his name is Grayson. He got mobbed after the game because he scored the last-second goal for
his
team.
All right, Grayson, see? Now
that's right.
The hell with baseball for him.
That's right. Come play lacrosse. Exactly.
And I would assume, I'm just saying, because, obviously basketball, they look for the height. Football, they look for the bigger, whatever. I would think lacrosse, anybody physically dimension-wise could play, correct?
Exactly, yes. So that's one of the great parts about lacrosse is that if you're a large player, maybe you're not the fastest player, we have defensive spots you can play, right? Where it's physical, that's it's right in front of the crease. That's where you're going to do some of the body checking and stuff. That's where you're going to usher people out to the islands and things like that. If you're really fast, then you might be one of those middies or attack guys that can take the ball up the field, be looking to feed the crease and be looking to feed goals and things like that. So both bigger sizes, smaller sizes, fast and slow, we have a spot for you on the lacrosse field.
I think that is so cool. And, I got to be honest with you. Once in a while, we flip around ESPN, and it'll always be like John Hopkins, against Naval Academy or some of these Eastern kind of schools. But it is mind-boggling how they just flick that thing, and that thing will travel from here to that downtown Green Bay sign, and it'll hit that guy right in the wicket.
Yep.
I mean, he'll hit it, perfectly. The control they have on those things is fun to watch.
Yeah, you want to get the ball to the stick, as we say in lacrosse. That's literally hundreds of hours sitting on a wall, just bouncing the ball, practicing your stick skills. And the more you can do that, you can pass it a lot quicker than you can run it. So the more they do that, the better they get at it.
I think I would have been a good lacrosse player if I started. Where would you have played me?
Yeah, probably at middie to start. Water. And then we move water. You up to attack to score some goals.
Get that water over here.
Hey, Todd.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you turn your mic off? Your laugh is a little too deep that I'm comfortable with.
So you started this as just a club sport. So the parents actually...
Yes.
Paid for it. I mean,
a lot of car washes.
Yes, yeah. So we were bringing everything to the games. We would bring the tables. We would bring the cones, the goals. I mean, you felt like you were a mover bringing all this stuff every single time. But now the WIA has taken on lacrosse. So the last 2 years, it's been a WIA sport. We have our state championships down in Sun Prairie at their beautiful facility down there. And it was a phenomenal experience last year to have the first WIA state championship.
We're at Rich Thompson Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference.
So when you say it's a WIA sport, all the schools, or is it they're not? Now, how does what does that mean to East West?
Yep. Pebble? So our Bay Valley, we pretty much take anything above Fond du Lac is what we say. The schools that are in it currently, Nina has a team, Appleton, Kimberly, up in the Green Bay area, De Pere, Notre Dame, Bayport, Pulaski, Oneida, and then in Central Wisconsin, Wausau has a team. Stevens Point used to have a youth team, and they still do have a youth team. And now they're going to add it next year. So we hope Stevens Point will. So essentially anything above the Sheboygan Fond du Lac line in Northeast Wisconsin, we say is part of the Bay Valley.
And the field, the school have to make a big investment, or where do you play?
We play on our football field.
All right.
Yep, at Saputo Stadium in Pulaski there. So I have a game tomorrow night against Nina at Saputo Stadium.
And they don't get all anxious when you're on their field?
Not anymore. I will say this, Jim. In my era, back in high school, if you were even caught, walking down the football field or running on it, the groundskeeper were get off!
The marching band. I mean,
right. Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly right. But these fields now, I remember being at Kimberly maybe this past, and I got there real early. And they had two freshman football games before the varsity game. Yeah. Mm. Unheard of.
Right.
10 year, 20 year. But these turfs down these fields are incredible, aren't they?
They are. They're fantastic fields. I think every team in our league plays on their football field. So, and it's really a great experience. As to your point, the only time we worry is if track is just finishing up a practice or something and somebody takes a shot, we want to make sure that we don't hit anybody with a ball.
Is it dangerous at all?
I mean, let's put it this way. You do have swinging, you have balls that are flying, right? On the field, you're wearing helmets and shoulder pads and things
and
like that.
And a face mask.
Yes, and a face mask. Yep, okay. Yep. In the boys' game. In the girls' game, it's different. They don't wear helmets and that kind of stuff. So in the boys' game, though, we're wearing helmets and shoulder pads.
How fast does that ball go if somebody can really flick it?
When you're up at the Premier Lacrosse League is like the NFL for lacrosse, and they get up to like 110 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's like the fastest pitch in maybe faster than any pitch in baseball history.
That is, yeah, because you can think those sticks, I mean, they can get a lot of, you know, wick going with that, you know.
Wow. I did not know that.
Me either. That's
yeah,
that's,
and think if you're a defenseman there taking one of those shots, protecting your goalie, that's a lot of shot. That's a lot of power to take in that. So they wear chest protectors inside their shoulder pads to protect them to their chest.
Bulletproof vest. That's fast.
Wow. Officer Craig, I'm going to play some lacrosse for me for fast.
Wow. You know, we have Mark Hewson on here once in a while. He works for Bell and Sports, the youth thing. Do you have people on the sidelines to kind of, okay.
Yep, athletic trainers. So our athletic trainer for Pulaski is there on the sidelines for all of our games and all the other schools as well. Yep.
So what do you do to recruit kids now as far as like, because you need them playing before high school now to help prep, right? Yep. So how is that going, the youth leagues or youth clinics or anything?
Exactly. So those same schools that we talked about all have youth programs. Increasingly now they have U8 programs, U10, U12, U14, and that helps them get those stick skills we talked about, helps them learn those skills, learn the rules of the game. It's like you talked about, it's a brand new sport, so there's a lot of rules to learn. We do the trial lacrosse clinics in Pulaski the last 3 years. We've done National Celebrate Lacrosse Week, where we did a big try lacrosse clinic. We invited all the local schools' kids to come and give the sport a try, and then we get them into the youth program, and that feeds up to our high school programs. We want WIA lacrosse to be very successful. We want to see the Fond du Lacs, the Oshkosh, the Hortonvilles, the Manitowoc, Sheboygans, the Ashwaubenons all add lacrosse. So we want to build that as strong as possible and make WIA lacrosse as strong as possible.
I got to say one thing, though.
That's pretty cool.
Just knowing about your background and everything, Rich, obviously you're a high school athlete in six different sports, whatever, and collegiate and everything. And even still now, you kind of I don't know what you do for a real living or if this is your real living, but talk about how many nights and days and weekends you spend trying to help high school athletes.
Yeah. I'm the high school coach for Pulaski. So every night we have practice, except for one a week. The WIA mandates we take 1 week off. On that day, I usually officiate youth lacrosse. Yesterday was their night off. I officiated youth lacrosse. So it's pretty much every single night in the springtime. But you want to know something, though? Every year, it comes December, January, February, I can't wait to get out on a field again and to play and watch lacrosse. So to me, I do, it's pretty much, hey, family, I'll see you again at the end of the season in June.
What do you do between August and November?
I'm an official for for football, and I also am an official for WIA wrestling as well.
Your family ever say, Dad, do we do something?
They knew I was an athlete when it went.
Yeah, pretty understanding wife there.
Yes, yes.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, you've got a great disposition. You're very happy. You love what you do.
I do.
But is that it? I mean, John kind of asked, do you have like a real job or is this what you do?
Yes. I'm a safety manager.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
All right, cool.
Stick around. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. I don't know if enough people know about it.
And about how they get, there's people who would like to do what you're doing. So let's talk about your career path a little bit. Absolutely. We'll get back.
I'm going to ask you one quick question. I don't want to belabor it because it'll take up the whole next segment. Do you know of any cricket fields in Green Bay?
Of course.
Yes or no?
I don't.
Thank you. Rich Thompson, Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference. Whenever I'm asked who makes a Montreal grill, I say to you're out of sight. So be by, oh, fun. Look out, baby, cause here I come. And I'm bringing you a love that's true. So get ready, so get ready. I'm gonna try to make you love me.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. It's all right. The loving you're gonna
miss and the time it takes to find you. It's out of sight. Hey, welcome back. Man, we've had a great lineup today here at Mind on the Mayor. Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, talked about some potentially really, really serious weather coming in later today. Mm-hmm. Mark Daniels, legendary sportscaster, giving his opinion on the draft. Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation, always a blast having her in. And Rich Thompson joining us right now, Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference, also the head coach at Pulaski. And Jim had a couple of good questions for you right before the break.
You are, you're one of the happier guys I've met. I mean, that's,
you're doing what you like.
You're doing what you want to do.
That's right.
And
I very much enjoy it.
That's great. You're just talking about your kids during the break, and they all seem very happy. And
you want to know something? I enjoy spending that the Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday on a lacrosse field. To me, there's nothing better to do. I would not want to sit on a couch and watch TV. I'd rather sit out there on a lacrosse field and watch lacrosse.
That's so cool.
That is. I think there may be some kids in college that would like your career. Tell me how you got into the whole coaching side of it.
Absolutely. So my daughter, when she was young, we got her into lacrosse. At the time, I was in grad school, so we got her into Sun Prairie's program. We moved back up here to the Valley. I'm from Neenah originally, and we were coming up here for birthdays and, you know, all these parties and stuff for our family and stuff. And finally, she said, okay, time to move back to the Fox Valley area. And so we moved up here. I right away filed paperwork with the state to get Kimberly lacrosse program going. A couple days later, she came out on the bus and said, hey, there's this other family that's trying to get something going. So we combined efforts together. We got the Kimberly program going. And then I moved up to Pulaski. And then I said, hey, we need to found that in Pulaski. And so now that was back in 2018. And so we've had 7 years now of Pulaski lacrosse.
I bet you look now, it's getting easier, right? I mean, there's momentum.
Yes. Now we have a, at the time, you know, like you said, we were teaching everything, like the rules, the this and that and stuff. Now we have an established program where we have U10, U12, U14. We have a high school program. We have a high school girls program as well. So, I mean, it's really blossomed into far more than I could have ever imagined and faster than I could have ever imagined.
And you're building up your own coaching base with these kids.
Exactly.
With yourself, it's like, you know, how many other people would know the rules? And now you got kids that have gone through the sport that could probably help out, right?
Yeah, that's great from both a coaching standpoint. They can help coach and they can also help ref as well, because it's always there's always a ref shortage. We have two of my current players right now are reffing youth. And then we have several others that are interested in it. And that, to me, really helps grow the game. It helps build the next level. And it also helps their development. I tell them all the time, if you know what an official is looking for, like, hey, on this cross check here, if you bend your wrist to this point, that ref is going to be calling that, or excuse me, on a slash, that tells them, hey, I know, and when I play a game, I can't be, you know, bending my wrist to that point to get that slash call.
Yeah, I would think it would be a little difficult to get refs because they haven't played it a lot. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
A little easier basketball. We talk about ref shortages often here.
Yes.
And so, all right. So you have opportunities for kids.
Brian Mills is always on me to come
yes.
to ref.
Yeah. So Brian Mills, we talked about me being a football ref. Brian Mills is my head of my crew. So I'm his back judge on his crew.
All right.
Yeah.
That's get
him
awesome.
On, get yes. him on your team. He knows
yes,
a lot
yes,
of people.
Yes.
So.
Have I done any of your games? Have I broadcast any of the games you were reffing? Do you know?
Not that I'm aware of yet.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I can tell there's some crews that don't like me sometimes. I might question something.
For officials, we definitely always need officials. There's two opportunities for it. One, if you're a high school player, you have opportunities to become an official for the youth. If you're an adult, we often will get parents that'll say, you know what? I'm going to be coming to these games. I might as well be an official. And they'll sometimes learn the sport and become an official as well. So we have two opportunities, one for youth and one for adults.
All right. And I just want to wrap up pretty soon, but the pitch to your pitch, the attraction to your thing is really anybody can play.
Exactly.
You're kind of saying that. We talked about football, basketball, something. Well, but the other thing, it's a little faster pace than I mean, golf needs the shot clock like nothing else. Oh, my God, is that boring? But baseball can be a little bit slow, too. And your game is...
Yeah.
Somebody's always moving.
That's right. So I always say that there's never a bored kid in a lacrosse game. You're up and down the field constantly. Mm-hmm. Up and down. The ball's going one direction or to the other direction. You're scoring goals. You're making, you know, there's lots of contact in front of the goal. It's not the contact that you'd see in football. You're not decleating anybody, but there is contact. You can check below the neck and above the waist and to the side. So you're, you know, there's lots of checking going on and stuff. So there's physical contact up and down, back and forth, scoring goals. It's really just a high pace, fast game, and then boom, you come off the field for a few minutes, get a drink, and then boom, you're back out there. There's never a bored kid in a lacrosse game.
I just got to say, I would imagine this type of thing, you know, like a shooter out at basketball on a weekend or by yourself, but you could probably go to like the schoolyard maybe and just practice hitting against the school wall or something.
The number one thing a lacrosse coach tells their players is wall ball. Get a brick wall and just practice that wall ball. Practice your technique. Get those, you know, 100.
Get a piece of chalk, draw the square. And,
exactly. Yeah. Yep. And you bring it back to, we say bring it back to the box, which is right next to their head. You know, just practice that. Do that. You know, we say I do it 100 with each arm every single day, and you'll become a really good lacrosse player.
This is cool, Rich.
This is.
I love how many kids you've given the opportunity to play a sport. They might not be playing sports in the spring if it wasn't for you. That's awesome.
And it's a good opportunity. Like a lot of times, you know, maybe baseball didn't work out for them. Maybe they're not the best at hitting the ball or something. This gives them another opportunity in spring to play a sport.
And you've played how many different sports in high school?
I played six.
Six different sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to congratulate you. You are the third best athlete in our studio right now.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing this. I mean, you could have not done this. I mean, this is a lot of volunteers.
You're exactly the type of people that keep high school sports going. I'm not blowing smoke.
Yeah,
you got to have people like you where it's the passion, it's not a job.
So when's your next game that we can come to, or how do we kind of follow you, team?
Yep. We play Nina tomorrow night at Saputo Stadium at Pulaski High School, 7 p.m.
Nice.
Okay.
How much did you bench in high school?
I was up to like 250.
How many times?
If you added up all the way to ever lifted in high school, it might be 250, but probably not. It's a lot of 20-pound curls.
It's been a long time, though, since I did that.
Yeah. That's awesome, Rich.
You know what? You should have been in the arm wrestling competition this weekend.
Oh, hey.
It was an Oshkosh.
Man, you would have been perfect for that.
A lot of cool stuff going on.
My arm is still sore from it, so otherwise I'd take you on.
Okay.
Rich Thompson, whatever we can do to promote your great sport of high school lacrosse, you let us know.
I will.
I'm serious, man. I love your enthusiasm. I love what you do for high school kids across the board. Need people like you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
By the way, when you're in high school on a Friday night, high school football, what channel would you watch to get all the highlights?
The Mino Show.
Thank you. Todd?
Yes, sir.
Any comment? Thank you. Grand Oshkosh coming up.
If you missed part of the show or want to share it with a friend, to catch every episode of Mino and the Mayor on your schedule, listen now at civicmedia.us or find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's easy to take Mino and the Mayor wherever you go. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh, and of course worldwide on the Civic Media app. Also AM 1100 and 1590. Thank you. I'm proud of myself.
I didn't look, so I had to give him a bell.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Hey, give Rich Thompson a bell from Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference. Man, the enthusiasm that guy has for helping youth sports is incredible, isn't it?
He lives it. He is not.
He is
that's
amazing.
A labor of love, man. He just loves it.
I'll tell you another labor of love. Everybody that either works at, for, or performs at the Grand Oshkosh, because that is one of the coolest venues in the world. Todd, introduce our very special guest with a show coming up that is incredible.
Hey, Joe Furlow, how are you doing?
What do I do to get a bell?
I'll get you a bell.
It's going to take a while. We'll see how this goes.
Joe, you know how you don't get a bell from Todd? You know how you don't get a bell from Todd? Ask him for one.
Okay. There you go.
He won't do it. Yeah.
Joe, this is, you have such unique shows there. I mean, we talk about you often, but this is something very different, right? Tell us about this.
It is. I'm so glad that Neil has joined us because...
Hi, Neil.
I'm sure they hear this all the time, the folks at the Fourth Wall Ensemble. I'm so excited about the show. The video is great. And then you get out there and you want to try to describe it. And you're like, I love the idea. It's kind of an old school variety show. People my generation and up will remember these kind of acts on the Ed Sullivan show.
I was just going to say that this sounds
I mean?
I was just going to say it sounds like an episode of the Ed Sullivan show, because you've got Part modern dance, part circus, acrobatics, music, theater. I mean, it's
the only thing missing are the spinning plates, man.
Yeah,
Tojo Jiju.
The only thing missing, Neil.
Tojo Jiju.
Neil, tell me how the order is chosen though by the audience. You say that the audience is blue participation.
Good morning, Neil.
Neil, tell us about how this all works.
So hi there. I am Neil Parsons, and I am the bass trombonist with the Fourth Wall Ensemble. We're a trio of musicians who are also actors, dancers, acrobats, circus artists, daredevils of all sorts.
May I jump in? Neil, I just have to say one thing, though. When you talk about the instruments, okay, that's a unique group of instruments all together in your picture. Could you describe how you blend those three instruments together?
Yeah. So when we formed our group back in 2010, there was no music written for flute, bass, trombone, and percussion. So everything that we have performed in our repertoire in the last 15 years has been created or co-created by us and our collaborative composers. But we do a lot of arranging ourselves.
You threw an accordion there.
You can't do a Wisconsin interview, Neil, without talking about the accordion, man.
We've got to have the accordion. Yeah. Greg is a percussionist by training, but an accordionist by experience. It was an instrument that he just wanted to pick up and also found that he could move around while playing it better than he could if he was behind the vibraphone or a drum set. So the accordion makes Greg, our percussionist, much more mobile so we can all dance together.
That's awesome.
I would encourage people if they're on the fence for this. Obviously, we're on the radio, right? Go to the website, look up the Fourth Wall. There's a video, and just check out the video, and you get an idea of what's going on. And I want to shout out Neil and Fourth Wall not only for the show, which is called Fruit Flies Like a Banana, and on Friday night. That's Friday, right? May 2nd?
Yes.
Friday night. But also the day before, they're doing two school shows.
Okay.
And it's and it's all about like the science behind music, how music works.
Interesting.
So they'll spend time with students too. So there's like a slew of people that I want to thank in 30 seconds or less. Be ready with your bell. it's part of the Student Discovery Series, which is sponsored by the Amcor Foundation. It's part of the Outreach Series, which is sponsored by Community First Credit Union. Got a little support from Wisconsin Public Service Foundation. And all of that comes together so that we can have a couple days of busing kids into the theater, which is always great fun. And then this great public show. And don't let me go at the end of this without talking about the ticket special, the super secret ticket special.
Right.
Yeah. So
Neil, I just got to say, as a guy who worked with the community, for you to come and engage those students is so valuable. Yeah. I mean, for so many reasons, not just to entertain them and teach them something about, you know, the Fourth Wall or about the arts. It can open up a world to them that they would have never, ever seen had you not been here.
And that is one of the great honors that we have as performing artists, knowing that for many children that we perform for, we might be the first live performance that they see. And we are here to share not just a live performance, but introduce them to music, introduce them to dance, introduce them to, you know, acrobatics and theater. We're kind of giving them a smorgasbord of experiences, but also we're really trying to make it personal. We're really trying to make it something that cannot be replaced by smartphones or streaming media.
Right.
This is a live performance. And to get back to the question of how does it work with the audience choosing the show order? Well, yeah, we have decided that the audience is going to choose the show order. They are going to be directly involved in the show. The show cannot proceed without their participation. And we have a few different mechanisms for making that happen. Sometimes it's pick a card, any card. We've got a deck of cards with the different titles of pieces on that. And then we also have some other maybe secret ways of having the audience advance the plot
of you guys on stage ever showboat or anything. Yeah, sure.
I'm wondering what our show would be like, Jim and John, if our audience chose the topics we talked about.
Never mind. I would like to know what your show would be like.
Do you interrupt each other and talk over each other? Yeah, that's wow. That's great.
Neil, I'm going to jump in with a question because I'm curious. Great. So you guys are really great musicians.
Thank you.
Who's the first one that says, gee, if I get on a hoverboard or a skateboard, this would be even better? I mean, who comes up with the idea that we're going to suddenly do that? Or if I climb on you while you're playing and I keep playing and we build this little pyramid, who's the first one of you that came up with that craziness?
By this point, it's really hard to extract the origin story of most of our pieces. When it comes to what we do and how we do it, we are a collaboratively devised ensemble where, you know, the best idea wins by the end of the day. And it's not an efficient process of us all jumping in and saying, like, how about this? How about this? So it can be hard to figure out, like, oh, whose idea was it originally? Because by the time all three of us have really put it through the ringer of ideas and brainstorming and testing, like, we do a lot of R&D of, like, well, can we do it this way or no, can we do it that way? By the time it makes its way to stage, it's just this collective beast that we have kind of brought into the world through our collective conjuring.
Who's your audience? Because it's interesting, because I didn't want to put it in the family series because it kind of labels it as a kid's show. It's not. It's a kid, but it is. And it's not a date night show. But you guys are smirking because I'm doing your interview for you, aren't you?
Go ahead. Hey, these are all questions I want. I'd love to hear an answer to. Yeah, it's good stuff.
You know, it's kind of a date night show, or it's a family show, or it's a bring your kids show, or it's a you don't need kids show, right?
It's an interesting thing that the current arts industry is so focused on who's your market, who is your show for. And when it comes down to it, in my humble view, art is for all. And yes, there are certain artworks and certain artistic things that are guided to a certain audience. But we really believe that music and dance and theater and acrobatics and the kind of stuff we do really is for all ages. And that's why we have a show on the main stage on Friday night that is literally for all ages. And what we love after a show like that is when the children and the parents and the grandparents all come to talk to us afterwards, say that they love it. And you feel like each one of them senses that we made it for them.
That's awesome.
Should you look at
and
it
we
as
don't
almost like
necessarily say that, like, oh, it's for you, but you can also come. No, we want everyone there. There is something for everyone and a little bit of everything. And that really does harken back to the vaudeville stage, the vaudeville theater model that the variety show of the Ed Sullivan Show, the variety show of, you know, YouTube, just like see what comes next, never knowing what's going to come next and knowing that you're going to see something unusual and unexpected. That's what we're all about. We want everyone to just kind of like come for the ride and stick around for stuff they had no idea was possible.
Is it a little bit like Second City improv with instruments?
I suppose you could say that, although there is very little of the repertoire of our show that is improvised.
Okay.
All of the different acts have been kind of painstakingly prepared and rehearsed over the course of years. But the flow of the show is this impromptu kind of character where we don't know what's going to come next until it happens. But once we know the next piece in the program, we know what to do, but it's also kind of a surprise to us how the roller coaster ride of the evening is going to flow. So that really keeps us on our toes. And we feel like we're kind of in the same boat with our audience, that we're just like, we're along for the ride. Let's go for it.
I think it sounds awesome.
It sure does. I want to get back to the audience participation, because I think shows, live theater is nothing like it. I mean, I love it more than sports, anything else. Tell me about how do they choose? Like, you questions or is the applause you say from when you're out there trying to showboat to get them to take your act first, or how does that all work?
Wait a minute. I want to, before you answer, I want to make sure that in the studio, Todd got a soundbite of the former mayor of Green Bay saying he loved live entertainment more than sports.
I'm not running for anything anymore. I can say whatever I want now.
So. Having said that, I'm so sorry, Neil. I just want to make sure I have that for later. You go ahead and answer his question.
Yeah, well, we do actually have a deck of cards. And for each card, that's a piece in the program. And we run out into the audience, say, pick a card, any card. Anyone who's got their raised hand ready to like choose what comes next, they pick a card, read the title off the back, and that's the next thing we do. And then in the second act of our show, we have a different mechanism that's all about different colors. So we have a set of warm-ish colors, some cool colors, and some patterns. And they're sort of oversized paint chips that, again, each of those is connected to a piece of repertoire in the show. And again, the audience gets to just like shout it out, decide what's going to happen next. And then we serve up that next course.
60 seconds, wow. Joe, give us a plug. Where do they get tickets? How much are tickets?
Tickets are available at the Grand's website, thegrandoshkosh.org. And keep this in mind, show's called Fruit Flies Like a Banana. We have a special. It's called, you got to put in the code, Go Bananas. All caps, Go Bananas, plural. And your ticket price will magically drop to $20 a ticket.
Nice.
Wow.
So it's Friday, 7 o'clock. Nothing like live entertainment where you don't know what's coming next. Neil, thank you for joining and helping to talk about the show.
Joe, thanks for setting this all up. Yeah. Neil, this sounds spectacular.
Yeah, Neil, this is great.
Come see the show.
We will, my brother. Thank you. Mike Clemens, when we come back. Thank you.
Like I don't care, baby, by the way.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You don't waste your time. Here's why. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap
along. Hey, welcome back. Mine with the Mayor here, wrapping up a nice Monday morning, but once again, look out for later on this afternoon. Keep your eye on your weather app. Got a nice text here. Todd, ring yourself up today. You are killing it with your music selections, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy. Oh, yeah. I never get a bell.
Oh, man. That's...
What? If you deserved one, we'd give you one.
Thanks.
Do we have Mike here?
Yeah, he's on.
Mike Clemens, good morning.
Hi, Mino. Hi, Mayor. How are you guys?
We're good. Did you get a chance to sleep in till like 5 o'clock today?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the damper on the weekend was the Bucks game last night. We're waiting to hear word on Damian Lillard, who went down in the first quarter. You remember, you know, he missed about 14 games with the blood clot in his right calf muscle, in his right leg. And last night, it looked to me, Mino, that he was coming down half court. The Lakers, they were in transition. It looked like his right foot slipped, and then when he tried to recover, his left foot made an ugly turn, and we're talking about an MRI today for a possible torn Achilles.
You couldn't ask for a worse game than last night. It got 3-1. Our man
at home.
Halliburton was throwing him in from 35 feet and giving it back to Bobby Portis and whatever.
The kid from Oshkosh, yeah. And they're down 3-1, yeah.
That was an ugly way to, I'd hate to say it, to end the season, Mike. You know what I mean?
That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
But how about that draft, man?
I love it.
What a party that was, right?
I love it. What did you think?
Well, you know, from a league standpoint, even though this thing drew 600,000 people, and even with that cold, rainy day we had on Friday, it was second only to Nashville. And when the NFL draft went to Nashville, it went to a new level because Nashville was such a great backdrop with all the bars and the country music scene. Little Green Bay came right at number 2 of all-time draws for the NFL draft. You think about this. I mean, in 3 days, Green Bay drew more people or as many people that come through 10, 11-day runs for Summerfest or the Wisconsin State Fair. And on top of that, the thing increased the ratings on TV, and this is what, you know, the NFL wants because it's what their sponsors want. The ratings went up 11%. That's a huge gain in 1 year.
Yeah, that's
good.
That's
fantastic.
I see that. Wow, that's great.
Yeah. I just went as a spectator. I didn't see a single problem other than, I'm going to say this, we talked a little bit about it. There should have been an entrance or an exit at the east side of the stadium. I thought it was just too, expect for some older people that wanted to go to the stadium views and the Burkles and the different places there, and then to have to walk all the way back. I don't know why they didn't have two entrances and exits just to make things flow better.
You could have had another secure entrance there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and that's something maybe they'll think about when they move it to Pittsburgh next year. But the Packers took eight players over the weekend. Of course, they started out the first two nights with offensive players. They got this Savion Williams, a wide receiver out of TCU. You know, some of the scouts say reminds you a little bit of Cordell Patterson. He's versatile. He's 6'4". He's pretty fast, but he's a gadget guy. He played quarterback in high school, so they can use him all over the field. He threw a touchdown pass in the Wildcat last year at TCU. Then they got four defensive players over the weekend, including this Baron Sorrell, defensive lineman out of Texas.
Did you see it?
Now, his
press conference?
You know, only 16 kids that showed up for Thursday night in the first round. And then after that, most of them stay home because, you know, it's expensive to get there for the first place, and they'd rather just spend a long time at home. This kid wanted to cross the stage. He thought he might go Friday night in the second or third round. And when he didn't get picked, he said, well, if we're here, let's just stay. So he was there available, and when his name got called, he was there in the green room. And Goodell got so excited that he had a player, he came up to personally introduce him. And the player selected was from the host city, from the Green Bay Packers. Brian Gutekunst didn't even know he was in town. He just, that was the next player on the board. So then the kid walks across the street from the stage. He walks through Lambeau Field. He does a Lambeau leap, comes and talks to us. There with his family and friends, about eight or nine people in our press conference. This was great. And then when someone said, "Boy, you've got your whole family here," tell us about that.
Just broke down.
He broke down. That's when he lost it. So what a passionate kid the Packers just drafted with the fourth round pick.
I mean, if you didn't get teared up or choked up when he's talking about his mom, they asked about his mom and dad, and he almost like couldn't finish about having them in the first. I mean, think about that. He stayed there just because he wanted to hear his name called and wanted his parents to hear it called, just hoping to get drafted, and he gets drafted by the Packers right where he's sitting. That's pretty magical, isn't it, Mike?
And I think the owners ought to start thinking about that at the next draft. Let's afford so these families can have – we can pay. We can put them up so that they can be here for the weekend.
Jim offered his house kind of the whole time, free of charge.
Exactly. There you go.
They can sleep in the studio like you did, Mike.
So Mike, we'll can we hear the rest of your reports all day?
Yes, sir. We're tracking that Buck story, and then these Packer rookies come in. We'll probably have a Packer rookie mini camp coming up this weekend in Green Bay.
Mike, great work. I'll tell you what, man, you talk about taking that, doing everything you can, taking one for the team. You sure did it this week.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for everything you guys do on your show.
But let me just ask you, Mike, you know, they rate all these teams, ABC. What? How do you think they did? Do you think the Packers, it was a good draft, ABCD?
I think it was a typical Packers draft, and they've got some exciting new players
awesome.
To add.
That's great to hear from you.
Mike all Clements, right. Thanks for everything you do for Civic Media and for Mino and the Mayor.
Thank you, guys.
All right, you got it, buddy. Todd, thanks for putting together a great show.
You got it.
Back in tomorrow morning, Mino and the Mayor. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.